Okay, this morning's Bible lesson will be from the book of Genesis, chapter 28, verses 10 to 19a, a familiar story. Jacob left Beersheba and went towards Haran. He came to a certain place and stayed there for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones of the place, he put it under his head and lay down in that place. And he dreamed that there was a ladder set up on the earth, the top of it reaching to the heavens, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And the Lord stood beside him and said, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie I will give to you and to your offspring, and your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east, and to the north and to the south, and all the families of the earth shall be blessed in you and in your offspring. Know that I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. Then Jacob woke from his sleep and said, Surely the Lord is in this place and I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. So Jacob rose early in the morning, and he took the stone that he had put under his head and set it up for a pillar and poured oil on the top of it. He called that place Bethel. May God add his blessing to the reading of his holy scriptures.
Once again this morning, we've included some teaching notes for you to use as we go through this message together. And if you'd like to write things down as we go along, I welcome you to do that. Today we're picking up the story that we left off from with Jacob a few weeks ago. And you might recall that following the events in the early life of Jacob and Esau, Jacob is a man on the run. His whole life up until now, he's either been chasing or being chased. And it really started in his mother's womb with his twin brother, Esau. Esau came out first, and as Esau is coming out, there is Jacob's hand reaching for Esau's heel as if he's trying to trip his older brother. Now that event just foreshadows many events to come. You might remember that one day Esau came home from hunting and he was famished and he wanted the stew that Jacob was preparing. And Jacob offered him a bowl of stew in exchange for Esau's birthright. So Esau gets a bowl of soup and Jacob gets his birthright. The older brother's right to a double share of the inheritance and the title as the number one son. But Jacob is still hungry and wants more. He wants his father's blessing that rightfully belongs to Esau, the firstborn son. And so he deceives his father Isaac and puts on the skin of a baby goat around his neck and on his arms and goes into Isaac's tent and says, It's me, Esau, your firstborn. And Jacob steals Esau's blessing. Nothing left for Esau. The blessing has already been given away. Jacob has certainly lived up to his name, which literally means the grabber. And he takes a birthright and a blessing that do not belong to him, and Esau plans to kill his brother Jacob. And so when we meet Jacob in this passage for this morning, he is a man on the run. He's running from his angry brother, and ultimately he is also running from God. And as our story begins, Jacob comes to a certain place, and it's getting dark, and so he sets up camp for the night. And then he does something that to you and me seems really strange. He takes a stone for a pillow. As number one in your notes says, a stone for a pillow? Who would choose that? But as we read in verses 10 and 11, Jacob comes to that place and takes one of the stones and puts it under his head and lays down. Now, I investigated the Hebrew of the word translated here as stone, thinking it might mean something else like soft and fluffy. And you know what I found? The word literally means stone. It's also translated as a hard place. A hard place. Now, you might not have slept with your head on a rock like Jacob did, but it's likely that you've slept in a hard place. When have you slept in a hard place? You know, I always envy those people that can sleep anywhere, anytime, even in church, no matter what. It's said that President Franklin Roosevelt was a great sleeper. You know, Roosevelt led this country through the Great Depression, through the Second World War. The stress of his office must have been immense, and yet historians say that Roosevelt was able to sleep soundly no matter what he was facing. And if you can sleep like that, you are truly blessed. But me, when I'm in a hard place, I might as well be sleeping with my head on a rock. And maybe this is true for you as well. Perhaps you have done some tossing and turning in the middle of the night. You need rest. You have things happening the next day, but you just can't sleep. When your heart aches with grief, when you're anxious about your family, your work, your health, your finances, your future, the list goes on and on. When you're in that place, that hard place, it's a lonely place. Jacob not only put his head on a pillow of stone, he is sleeping in a really, really hard place. Running from his brother, running from God, he feels so very much alone. But here's the thing. This story reminds us again and again that Jacob is really not alone in that place, that indeed the Lord is in that place. Jacob just doesn't know it yet. And the good news of this story is in number 3, there is a ladder between heaven and earth, between God's heart and your heart. But perhaps you just don't know it yet. When Jacob drifts off to sleep, he has this extraordinary dream. In verse 12, it says that he dreamed that there was a ladder set up on the earth, the top of it reaching into heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. Now, when I think of a ladder, I think of something that the great devotional writer Thomas Merton said, and it's printed there in your notes. People may spend their whole lives climbing the ladder of success, only to find, once they reach the top, that the ladder is leaning against the wrong wall. You spend your whole life climbing a ladder, and when you get to the top, you look around and say, this ladder's against the wrong wall. You made it to the top, but, oh, I should have been climbing over there, you realize. All of Scripture suggests that there is a ladder between heaven and earth, and this is the ladder that every one of us ought to be climbing on in life. There is a ladder between your heart and God's heart. You don't have to build it. You don't have to create it. God created you with this ladder. God created you with the connection between God's heart and your heart. But perhaps you just don't know it yet. Some have said The church is a ladder between God's heart and your heart. Now that's a thought, isn't it? I mean, we come here and we're singing the hymns and we're hearing the scriptures and we're bringing our offerings and our prayers, and it is good to be here. But have you ever thought that this might actually be a ladder to heaven? Angels might come down here this morning. The Lord God Almighty might come down here. We pray that God would come down upon our church and upon every church, because we need the Lord to come down to us. The church is a ladder. And the Lord shows up in so many ways in the church. The Apostle Paul gives us this powerful picture. He says in Romans chapter 12, as the body is one body, we have many members, and not all the members have the same function. So we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Friends, the Lord is in this place, in our worship, in the love that connects us together as brothers and sisters. The Lord is in this place as we serve the world as the body of Christ. The church is a ladder between God's heart and your heart. But the church is not the only ladder between heaven and earth. As we continue on in Jacob's story, it shows us that your ancestry is a ladder between God's heart and your heart. In Jacob's dream, God says something interesting to Jacob. In verse 13, he doesn't say, I am your God, Jacob. He says, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham your father, and the God of Isaac. In this dream, God points to Jacob's ancestors. He points to the lives of Abraham and Isaac as a testimony to the fact that God is faithful. Well, while I was on vacation, I understand that you all had some wonderful messages on Sunday mornings. 2 weeks ago, the Reverend David Schmuck preached here. His father was pastor of this church when David was a teenager and a young adult preparing for ministry. And several months ago, David asked if he could come here and preach some Sunday because he wanted to tell this church how much he appreciated all that this congregation meant to him in those important years of his life. Surely the Lord was in this place, blessing David's life when he was growing up here. And across the generations, the Lord has been in this place to bless so many, many lives, including yours and mine. And then last Sunday, you heard from three generations of the Wirtz family. And when I think of the influence of faithful parents and grandparents showing Jesus to the next generation and the next, I think, surely the Lord is in that place. And in every family where we share our faith with the next generation. When I started preparing this message a couple of weeks ago, I didn't know that today Betsy and I and our family would be mourning the death of her mother. And in so many, many ways, over these past 40 years that I knew her, she's been a ladder for me and for us as a couple and for our family, a ladder from God's heart to our hearts. One of Mom's great gifts was her heart for missions. She grew up the daughter of missionaries in India. She never, ever lost her passion for serving God's children. She led her local church in Millersville to make missions a priority. And she was always somewhere helping someone in the community every day. She was a leader in United Methodist Women in the Eastern Pennsylvania Conference. She taught at schools of mission across the country several weeks every summer. She traveled to Africa, India, Jamaica, and across the United States on mission teams. And we were remembering that her last mission trip was when she was 75 years old. When I think of Dottie Miller's quiet, persistent influence and her great concern for those who in this world too often go unnoticed, I think, surely, God was in that place and it blessed my life and Betsy's and so many, many others. Your ancestry, whether it's in your biological family or in your church family, is a ladder between God's heart and yours. Now, of course, none of our ancestors is perfect. And the Bible is quite transparent about the failures and shortcomings of Jacob's ancestors, about Abraham and Sarah and Isaac and Rebekah. But even at their worst, they were in some way a gate to heaven. Because wherever they were, even when they didn't know it, God was in that place. And so whatever you're dealing with, the Lord is in that place with you today. There's a ladder between your life and the Lord God Almighty. The church is a ladder between God's heart and yours, and so is your ancestry, all of it. And as our story continues, we discover another place God puts a ladder between earth and heaven. Your sacred place is a ladder between God's heart and yours. Genesis doesn't tell us the name of the place where Jacob has this extraordinary dream. It is called simply a certain place. It is no place. It is any place. But it becomes a sacred place for Jacob because he notices that God is in that place. Look at verses 16 and 17. Then Jacob woke from his sleep, and he said, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it." And he was afraid, and he said, "How awesome is this place! This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven." Now, I would love to sit down with each and every one of you and ask you, where is your sacred place? For some of you, this sanctuary is a sacred place. You were baptized here, perhaps. You were married here. The funeral was here for someone that you loved. This space is sacred for you because in this space you experienced the presence of the Lord in a special way. And there are other sacred spaces too. There's a space on the campus of Lebanon Valley College that is sacred to Betsy and me. A park bench was there where we spent many hours in conversation while we were dating. And in that space on a Saturday night, long, long ago, Betsy said yes to my marriage proposal. Now, since then, the college has removed that bench from the campus. They took it away without even asking us first. I mean, we might have wanted it for our backyard. But whenever we're on that campus, we always walk by that space. And we remember, surely the Lord was in that place, and Probably we didn't even know it. We were so enamored with each other. Driving along the road, we often see this stash of flowers or a little wooden cross, and we know that for someone, that's a sacred place. Somebody died in that place. A sacred place doesn't have to be about a happy moment. It can be a place where your heart was broken, or where you lost the thing that was most precious to you. Those places of pain can be transformed into places of hope because the Lord is in that place. In Jan Caron's novel, At Home in Midford, one day Father Tim comes walking into the sanctuary of his church, and he sees a man sitting in a pew about halfway up the aisle. And the man is talking, and Father Tim can't quite hear what he's saying, so he sits in the back to see what will happen, and he notices the man's talking keeps getting louder and louder, and finally this man raises his hands and he says, "God, are you up there?" Now Father Tim quietly comes down and slides in next to the man, and he says, "I think the question you want to ask is not, 'God, are you up there?' but, 'God, are you down here? There is a ladder, and God is down here. Even if you don't know it, even if you can't see it, if you're wondering if God is with you, look at the church. Look at your ancestry. Look at those places that are sacred to you. And there is one more place to look. For us, the greatest sign that the Lord is in this place is the cross of Calvary. The cross is our ladder between God's heart and your heart. When Jesus died on the cross, he reached out his arms to be crucified, and he reached out to God the Father, and he reached out to us wherever we may be, and he brought us together at the cross. Jesus brought us near to the heart of God. Nowhere is the message of the cross more plainly stated than in the third chapter of John. And I would invite you to join with me now as we read these two familiar verses together. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." Now we notice that God didn't just put a ladder between earth and heaven for some of us. Jesus died on the cross so that the whole world, every person, might be saved. There is a ladder between God's heart and the heart of every person. Wherever you are, whatever you face, God is reaching out to you in Christ, welcoming you home. Wherever you are, God has erected a ladder between his heart and yours. I love what God says to Jacob in verse 15 of this passage. A man on the run, a man running away from home, away from his family, away from God, assuming he will probably never see home again because he's made such a mess of his life. And God says in verse 15, "Know that I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised." In effect, God is saying to Jacob, I will bring you home. And if God said to you, I will bring you home, you might ask yourself, well, where is that? What does it look like for me at this moment in my life to come home? We're going to close this service this morning by singing an old African-American spiritual. Scholars believe that this song was sung by African slaves as early as 1750. You know, the slaves were not permitted to talk while they were working in the fields, but they were allowed to sing and chant. And singing and chanting alleviated the tedium of their exhausting days, and singing and chanting bound them together as a community. And as we sing this old song, we picture people living in a very, very hard place, singing and chanting together about the God of Jacob, who put a ladder between God's heart and their hearts. Loving Jesus, serving Jesus, claiming the promise that God was even in that place, they climbed higher and higher and closer to the heart of God. And just as God promised Jacob that one day he would come back home, so those enduring a lifetime of hardship as slaves claimed the promise in Christ that they too would one day be home. Home. Being at home with God. Sisters and brothers, what would it look like for you to come home? Wherever you are today in your life, whatever hard place you might be in, remember, there's a ladder between heaven and earth, and God has put it there. There's a ladder between God's heart and your heart. And we see that ladder in the church, in the ancestry that God has blessed us with, in those places that are sacred to us. And we see it most beautifully in the cross of Calvary, where Jesus took upon himself the brokenness of the whole world so that you and I, so that we might come home. Come home. The gracious invitation to you and to me this day is that we might come home. Come home to Jesus, knowing that as we love Jesus and as we serve Jesus, we discover that wherever we are, surely the Lord is in that place. Amen.